Ed inti simaw l-SBS bil-Malti. Isma' aktar stejjer interessanti fsbs.com.au/Maltese. Is-serje ta' xef Malti Awstraljan Shane Delia bl-isem ta' Shane's Delia Multa fuq SBS Food intlaqat tajjeb ħafna mhux biss mill-Maltin imma minn dawk kollha li jħobbu u jsegwu il-programmi tal-ikel. Kont tkellimt ma' Shane Delia qabel bdiet din is-serje fuq it-television. Issa il-programmi kollha jinsabu fuq SBS On Demand fejn tistgħu taraw kull episodju x'ħin u meta tridu. Tkellimt ma' Shane Delia dwar il-varjetà u l-kwalità tal-ikel li illum insibu f'Malta. Minħabba li Shane Delia twielet u traba fl-Awstralja, din l-intervista qed issir bl-Ingliż. As you've seen, Malta now has become more multicultural, meaning there are more different restaurants and more different type of foods. How do you see it continuing to affect the Maltese cuisine?
I think, you know, multiculturalism and evolution is inevitable. Like everywhere things change, I think that the opportunity that Malta has now in Malta is a chance for more premium mid-market restaurants, like what the food that I'm talking about, like the food that we're talking about in this show. Because I think Malta does two things really well, right? Well, three things really well. It does the pasticceria really well. You go there, pastizzi, asa tart, all that. We've got plenty of it. You can do local restaurants where you can get, you know, your snails and your horse meat and your safat and all that kind of stuff. There's still those around and they do them really well. We've got seafood restaurants around Marsha Schlock and everything else. And then we do the high-end restaurants, the Michelin-star restaurants, really, really, really well. Like there's some young Maltese chefs cooking Maltese Michelin-star food, unbelievably. Mm. Like, it's like I've never seen in Malta before. But where we lose it is we don't have anything in the middle. Like if you want food, like the Italians do that really good. That middle market where you can go have some pasta or you can go have some, you know, roasted beef with tomatoes. We've just got the traditional stuff, but it hasn't evolved in the mid-market. So I think now is a great chance for us in Malta to create this really beautiful mid-market, modern Mediterranean Maltese food amongst all of the other globalized foods where, you know, that you can see Indian food and you can see Chinese food and you can see, you know, Japanese food, which is really popular in Malta. But I think the tourists who are coming to Malta are looking for a new version of what Maltese food can look like.
And in these episodes, you visited many places like olive groves. Malta and Gozo are small islands and local produce is not that huge, not that big. How important is it that Malta continues to produce its own local fruit, vegetables?
It is. Words cannot describe how important it is that Malta has an agricultural footprint. I think that our indigenous varietals that we've got, you know, obviously you know we've got indigenous olives, we've got indigenous capers, we've got indigenous thyme, honey. There are so many things that are Maltese and need to be held onto and around for future generations. But the future is looking really, really, really strong for Malta because Maltese produce, even though it's small, it's really high quality, and the new chefs that are starting to cook food at its highest order in Malta are demanding Maltese product. So they don't want, you know, olives from Sicily. You know, they want Maltese olives. And they don't want tomatoes from abroad. They want Maltese tomatoes. It's so integral to who we are. We need to farm. We need to produce things. We need to be able to be proud of the produce that we're producing. And, you know, the people producing salt in Gozo who have been doing it for five generations, they need young blood in there to keep harvesting that salt the traditional way, because it's, you know, it's even though it's only in small quantities, everything that's done there is done with love and it's beautiful.
Also got the sea around Malta and Gozo, the fish, the seafood.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, I think that the seafood that comes out of Malta is amazing. Obviously, that Etsy is, not as abundant as it used to be. And that's good. It's coming back. I think the Maltese love it too much and they've eaten too much of it. But it's starting to spawn and come back, which is great. And Lumpuki season has just started. So, you know, there's so much beautiful things about Malta.
You met many people during the shooting of this series. Tell us about some of these people, because you even met a Knight of Malta.
It was great. I mean, I've been lucky enough throughout my life to meet so many great people in Malta, and, you know, from prime ministers to artists and curators of museums to, you know, Knights of the Order, which have all been, for me, I feel so lucky, you know. So for my dad to leave Malta in 1970 and come to Australia as a 17-year-old boy by himself to start a new life here, and for me now to be able to go back to the country that he was born in, and to experience things that even he hasn't seen, it's so humbling. You know, it's such a beautiful thing for me. And all the people that I meet in Malta are so happy that it's coming around full circle, that there's Maltese Australians so passionate about Malta that are willing to come back and show the world how beautiful the island is. So all the people I met were amazing. I've got a great friend of mine now, Liam Gauci, who's one of the most prominent historians on the island. And every time I speak to him, I learn something new. So I'm very lucky.
And you still got relatives in Malta.
Oh, yeah. I mean, half of Zaytun is my cousin. So. my dad's family, my Nanda and my Nanu, were both from Zaytun. And our family is deeply embedded there for multi-generations. And my mum's family were from Mosta and Paula. So everywhere I go, I'm surrounded.
And there was also a full episode on Channel 9 featuring your visit to Malta, which many Maltese Australians loved. Very busy man, running your own restaurant. Any other projects that you've got planned?
Look, at this stage, it's been a really busy year. You know, the show that this year takes a long time. I mean, it's 5 weeks away, and then you know, it takes about 6 months to finish it all up. And like you said, we just did one in for Channel 9 as well, which was unbelievable. But tonight I'm heading into work. We've got a full house, which is beautiful. But Joe, you know, I feel like this is the time of my life, where I've always dreamed. You know, is it possible to open a modern Maltese restaurant in Australia that isn't, you know, that still feels like Malta and is still homely, and people will come and support, and that can cut through, that becomes a part of Australian, you know, dining sort of culture. And, you know, as I get a bit older and as I'm starting to do more in Malta, I'm starting to believe that a little bit more. So I'm just hoping that maybe that's something I can focus on next year. You never know, I might be the first one.
And your Maltese, is your Maltese getting better after this last visit to Malta?
Can I tell you, I can swear like a sailor now. You know, it's one of the things, you know, I never criticised my father on anything. I think he's been an amazing person and a role model to me. But I remember asking him, Dad, why didn't you teach us Maltese when we were kids? I mean, all my cousins, I've got 30 cousins on my dad's side, everybody speaks Maltese but us, and I respect his view. You know, my dad said, Shane, when I came to Australia, I came here to assimilate. I wanted to be Australian. I wanted to really immerse myself. He goes, we named you Shane. Doesn't that prove it?
Yeah.
He goes, I got so much trouble from my dad from calling you Shane. He said, I wanted you to be Australian. He goes, I wanted you to go to school and for you just to be Australian. But so I understand his reasoning for that. But if there was one thing I wish that I could change in my life, it would be for me to be able to speak Maltese, because I would have such a better connection with my ancestry. And if there's anybody listening to the show that wants to give me one-on-one lessons, and I don't have to be, I don't have to write Maltese, I don't have to be good enough to speak in Parliament, I just have to be good enough to speak at the Gazine.
And it's never too late. you're still very young. Shane, thank you for your time.
Gracias.
Segwi l-SBS bil-Malti fuq Facebook, għamel like, ixxerja, ikkummenta.